to shoot for $1 million endowment in 2 years. I don't know how to make that happen. I'm not sure whether this is just pipe dream stuff, but somewhere along the line, there has to be some donor or someone who, you know, found who can help create that. Anyway, any other questions on budget or other matters? Let me know, or comments.
Okay, Sasha and Brian.
So I think I asked this a month or so ago. But this, so we're $383,000, and we're not paying central services. So we're really basically $400,000 is built in as a deficit. And we have to avoid doing that next year. But my question is, our IGM is also functioning as the HR director. Does that include a GM salary? Or if we added a GM salary back into this, would that be an additional expense per month? How much is he being paid by KPFA? Is he being paid by Pacific entirely? Okay. And we have no program director in here. I'm not sure what the development director situation is, but that's the person who raises the money. And I understand that somebody is sort of doing that function but calling herself assistant general manager or something. I'm a little confused. But my question is, how many other salaries do we need to add in here for positions that we really need? I mean, we really need a development director to raise money. We really need a program director or a radio station. So what is the realistic figure of it's $400,000 plus? So if we were paying those salaries for positions that are really needed, it's $400,000 plus.
To add, you mean?
Right. It's not just $400,000. It's with benefits and so forth, I think we're talking about, at least another $150,000 added to that.
Well, yeah, so you're clearly highlighting a structural problem here. We have essentially a run rate of salaries of $120,000. We can't possibly see an increase in debt. It just doesn't fit in. So essentially, I don't know how to get into that level of detail, but...
Okay, Brian has a question. Maybe we can wrap it up.
Yeah, Sasha actually stole my first point. Agree with you on that, particularly the development director position. Looking at these numbers, how we're coming up short in major donors, possibly direct mail pieces, I think we're seeing the impact of switching from a general manager who was half development to a general manager who's half national HR. Like, there's now a hole in our staffing structure that needs to be filled. Just to confirm, is Amand's salary now coming from KPFA instead of the national office?
I think Tracy just confirmed that. Actually, I didn't know the answer to that.
Okay, so that is not actually a looming hole in the run rate, but the program director position and the development director position are.
If they're not on staff now, correct.
Okay, they're not. I can confirm that. Look, the second thing I wanted to... What's that? The second thing I wanted to say is, I basically don't disagree with anything you've laid out in terms of needing to get better numbers from the station and needing to get the budgeting process on track. And I do not want to impose on you at all, but as someone who is in the station, I'm happy to be an in-station nag on your behalf or to sit in on anything that you would like to represent a unified front from the local station board on getting good information to the board, because I think that's paramount. I mean, the fact that you're not getting responses to these things, to me, means that a strategic financial discussion that needs to happen at the station is not happening even on a staff level right now, and that's
that's
troubling.
I think Ahmad is having those discussions with maybe his manager.
Uh-huh.
I think that's where that is happening potentially, but no sharing of that is happening or occurring with the board. Correct.
Well, as I said, whatever you want to do, you have my number. And the third thing I just wanted to hit on, I just want to make sure we're using the same terms. An endowment to me means permanently restricted assets, a principle that you can't invade, money you can only spend the interest on. Reserves means cash in bank that you can use to manage your cash flow.
So I maybe mean, you know, either or both of those.
Uh-huh.
But something that would, obviously you don't want a reserve that can just be politically used up at a convenient time. But, you know, before you go down and out of business, you would want to be able to draw on it, yes.
Yeah. Well, there's a normal cash deficit. In other words, if we start September on a break-even budget, we'll have less money in January than we do in September. So you want to have a reserve starting the fiscal year, or have some cash in reserve, whatever terminology you want to use. At any rate, my point is, I agree with you. We need a budget that has a structural surplus so we can catch up on payments, build up reserves, and be able to manage our cash flow.
Okay, Chandra has a question, and then let's conclude with that.
Chandra has a comment. I take exception to the comment that Brian made earlier about past management and development and us doing better financially, because that's not true. And I think that information has been misrepresented in this election campaign, as well as by the statement that Brian just made. We had a deficit last year. We had a substantial deficit. It was underreported in the budget. And we didn't have development going on. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had such an unsubstantiated low income as we did last year. And it's continued. I mean, and the absence of a development director has not changed the situation one iota, because we're still in debt, and we were in debt last year, except the budget information that we got was incorrect, because it didn't report the actual income. It reported more income and less expenses than we actually had. So.
Okay.
I'd like to respond to that.
In 1 minute, please.
Okay. Look, Chandra, I'm not saying last year was roses. I'm just saying there have been material changes at the station. We were planning to have a peace awards banquet, which is our principal major donor event in April. The principal planner of that event left the station, and it got called off. That materially impacts our financial performance this year. I am not talking up how well we were doing the prior year. I'm saying there is a change in what fundraising activities the station does engage in with the staff lineup it has.
I'm not going to debate that towards unintended.
Okay, thank you for your report, Simon. Before we move on, some people want to take a break?
No?
Okay.
Wait a minute.
Let's have a real 10 minutes, though. An honest 10 minutes.
Long enough to get food, please. Unless you want to break early, but I'm going to be putting my head down on the table if I don't eat something.
Well, what do we say? 20 minutes? A strict 20 minutes? Okay. Okay. A strict 15 it is, then. Please be back at 5 minutes of. All right, let's get back to business. We have a quorum to start.
You're right.
But you can give the PNB report. Okay, whoever wants to start the Brian, could you pass the mic up? Tracy.
Okay, I guess I'll report a couple of things from the PNB. It's a certain amount, obviously, of executive session material that I can't report in open session, but I guess the biggest thing to report is some changes underway at WPFW in Washington. They have been suffering greatly over the past couple of months from a transmitter failure. They've been broadcasting basically at about 1/8 of their signal area, which has had a really negative effect on their fundraising because nobody can hear them, therefore nobody donates. That has been fixed. It was fixed with a lot of help from former KPFA GM Jim Bennett, who now runs WMNF in Tampa. They loaned them a generator, brought it in, and have fixed it and finally got the repairs done. But the upshot is that after some negative numbers for several months, WPFW has been pretty much strapped and unable to cover their payroll, and national office has been having to take care of that for them, which adds to the many stresses on the national office. The good news is that the generator is now repaired and they are transmitting at full power, so hopefully they'll be able to replenish their bank account. The bad news is that in the midst of some of that stress, they have undergone a management change. Grigsby Hubbard is no longer the IGM over there. They are in the process of a GM search, so more than likely they will have a new permanent GM in a couple of months. In the meantime, I think, I may not have the name correctly, I think it's Bob West, who was the operations person, will be holding down the fort there. He's going to be the hold down the fort guy until the new GM comes on board. Let's see. On the elections front, the PNB has been looking at the issue of saving money vis-a-vis getting out complete ballot pamphlets to each voter and has been going back and forth because there are, of course, two things that are really important. One is to be as economical as possible at this time, and the other thing that's important is to get the voters the information that they need so they will vote and we will make quorum at all five stations. And these two things are kind of running into each other. So the PNB passed a motion that it does indeed want to spend the money to print and send a ballot book to each and every voter. It was the intention of the NES not to do so, to instead send out ballots and direct people how they can request a statement book, a book of all the candidate statements by email, fax, letter, phone call, etc. So I'm not quite clear which way the foundation is going to end up going, but the PNB has asked for something different than the process the NES was intending. So there will have to be some final call made on that. It's difficult. As I said, those are two goals that everyone can support, the voters having all the information that they need and us saving money, and they're not sort of pointing in the same direction. Otherwise, we talked about the finances and the central services. Only two stations are paying, three are not. This is causing problems. The bill to Democracy Now! Is quite high. It's over $300,000 unpaid and climbing. Free Speech Radio News, over $100,000. The auditor is still waiting on $100,000. These are problems. Revenue to date, network-wide, is at about $11 million, and we have two more months in the fiscal year. We had hoped to reach $15 million total revenue. It looks like we're actually going to end up somewhere between $13 and $14 million, which will be a little less than budgeted. So the revenue drop that KPFA is experiencing is really network-wide and presumably has to do with the economic catastrophe that we're in the middle of. PNB also has a promotional task force, which has been looking at a couple of low-cost guerrilla marketing kind of ideas, the idea being to get it in front of more people's faces who live in the signal areas that there are these stations, and they should check them out. Informally, I think a couple of PNB members did some polling in terms of, you know, people who knew that the stations were there and had listened to them recently, and felt that, you know, part of our problem was just a lack of marketing and a lack of promotional effort being taken. So the PNB is looking at some ideas about, you know, what kinds of things the stations could be doing at low cost just to keep the name and the Pacifica brand out there a bit. And I think that's it. So, Shram?
Just, yeah, the difference between the, according to Arlene, the difference in the two different schemes in terms of sending ballots to the listeners, will the price or the pricing difference would be about $30,000 in terms of a cost. It would be $30,000 for if you send, in other words, if you send the ballots, if you send the, when you send the balance, you send the entire package with each ballot as opposed to just sending it to people who ask for it. So the difference would be about $30,000 according to Arlene. But the PMB, and I think there was some sort of a more or less a consensus on the board that the directives issued by the board was that the ballots should include complete package. And that was, you know, the PMB's wish was very clear a few months ago. And the PMB felt like that should be, that directive should be followed as it was issued earlier. There was another motion regarding the affiliates task force, or what it was known as affiliates task force. So back in April, if some of you remember, in Los Angeles, there was a motion passed to create a committee, if I'm not mistaken, as opposed to handle what used to be done by affiliates task force, if I want to make it sort of a summary of what was done. So last night, that motion was that was passed back in April was rescinded, and I cannot say that we are going to be permanently back to what was affiliate task force, because the new motion is to look at the ways to restructure the affiliates task force. So there will be a, you know, that issue will be revisited and addressed in the future by the PMB.
Chandra and Henry.
I heard last night from another member of the PNB that the motion to rescind included a provision that it go back to the task force to develop a new structure to bring back to the PNB. So that's what the task force will be tasked with. And was there any timeline? Do you know?
I didn't hear any timeline when I was on the phone, no.
I understand that there was a plan to consider more ambitious and more cost-saving effort to move more of the election online for the next time. Is that still in place? Is there still investigation of that going on?
Yeah, the bylaws permit the election supervisor to research and actually to implement electronic voting if they choose to do so. Renee Asterios, who's the NES, did develop a plan to implement internet voting this year, but the members of the PNB election committee, and frankly many members on the PNB, felt that it was too soon, too abrupt, that the listeners would not be able to adjust, and felt that it needed to be phased in more gradually. We have old listeners, and a lot of them are afraid of computers. It seemed to be the feedback. So the proposal was shelved. The good news is that, you know, there is sort of an implementation plan. So in time, 2 years from now, there should be some ability to move forward on that, which would save a whole bunch of money. But it didn't fly this year.
Just a quick follow-up. I hope you guys on the PNB will do what you can to make sure that doesn't just sit in the file until 2 years when it's again too late to do it because we haven't transitioned to it.
Agreed. I was actually an advocate for going forward on it this year, but sometimes in life one is outvoted.
Okay, Chandra, then Dan, then Brian.
When I went to the Pacifica Elections website last night and I clicked on it, it indicated online balloting or something about online information coming soon. And is there going to be an option to opt out of getting the candidate statements on in the packet so we can save money that way, or is it too late to do that?
You can still opt out of getting a candidate ballot. The issue is whether if a person has not opted out, whether they will automatically get a candidate ballot at an expense of some $30,000 more, or whether they will receive a letter instructing them how to order a candidate ballot if, in fact, they want one and don't want to look at the statements online. Yes.
And what's the opt-out mechanism, Trace?
Contact the election supervisor.
To opt out, there's a form available at Pacifica Collections 2010 that you fill out. It's called a green elections spiel. And, you know, you just enter your name and address, and it's done.
Okay, Dan?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's going to be productive to get into an argument about who wanted to do the Internet method this year versus the year after next. But I'm glad that people have it in their sights, because we should keep pushing. And it's very easy. I mean, people may remember that in 2007, we finally wound up using a company called True Ballot to count the WBAI election results. And they did a fine job, and it's cheap, and it's efficient. And this was, so many other organizations are doing this, where you could have a system where people could sign into the Internet, cast their ballot. For people who didn't want to do it that way, they could be issued a ballot in the mail. And we'd save a lot of money, we'd save a lot of heartache, we'd save a lot of arguments, and it really should go forward next time.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe you guys could also pass Tracy a mic, because I'll bet she'll want to answer my question. It would be awkward to pass it back and forth.
Just a quick question. Could you give us a kind of a roundup on what the state of budget development for the other six financial units is?
Okay. Well, we'll just go back and forth as best we can, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So
we'd rather not stack
them up on you.
Okay, cool. If you want to stack, I can take notes. All right. Okay. So this isn't really a full PNB thing. This is more a finance committee thing, because none of the budgets have really made their way over yet. But KPFT has a balanced budget that has passed the finance committee and, I believe, their local board as well. KPFK has presented a first draft budget. It's been discussed. It's gone through NFC sort of conversation, and the business manager is to come back with a slightly modified one at the next meeting for further discussion. They're pretty close to finished. There's just a couple of things to kind of iron out. The Pacifica Radio Archives has presented its budget. It's badly out of balance. They are in the process of trying to figure out how to resolve that. Draft budgets are underway for PFW and BAI. They've not yet made their way to the Finance Committee, and KPFAs we've talked about. So I would say the process is about 35 to 40%. Underway. National office haven't seen it or heard it. My guess is that that will be the last one that we receive. I think that's normally how it goes.
Is it just that $30,000 to $35,000 figure? That's network wide.
Yeah.
The cost difference between sending out a candidate packet and not. So I'm guessing that our representatives all voted for having the full packet?
No.
Okay.
At the election committee meeting, I voted no. At the full PNB meeting on Friday, I'm afraid that I had a work commitment and I wasn't there. It would have been my intention to have voted no. I believe the other two representatives voted.
I don't know about Joe. I don't remember. I voted yes. As I said, it was sort of a consensus across the board, across the faction. The vote was like fifth.
I am in a very small, tiny, hopelessly outvoted.
I think the vote count, I think the tally was something like 15 to 1 or something like that. It was really... And to be fair to the board, this plan was presented to them back in like June, I think. So it was kind of a late in the game too.
Well, I just want to throw in my two cents for however this comes up. I know basically when the PNB is dealing with its own election, it's advisory. because the supervisor becomes independent. I heard one of you say that there's concern that older voters are not that computer literate. I would just chime in that I have many friends in their 20s and 30s, some of whom are members of KPFA, and don't pay any attention to their postal mail because all their bills are on auto pay and they are used to doing things like voting over the internet. So you exclude people. There are what you would call a selection bias any way you do it, but one way does save us money. And also a lot of tallying time if you let people key their votes in on a computer. And I just missed a figure when you were presenting. How far are we behind the bills on FSRN?
Okay.
You
said something, but
this is not a precise figure. I do not have it in front of me. I can get a precise figure and send it over the email, so I'm guesstimating it is in the high 90,000s of close to $100,000. That's the best I can do.
I just want to flag something for you all who are watching finances at the national level, which is that we're nearing the end of the grant reporting period for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. The money we give Free Speech Radio News is restricted grant money. It's a portion of our CPB grant that the CPB says this can only be spent on national programming production or acquisition. Now, I understand the national office is confronting a completely apocalyptic cash flow situation, and that one thing they've done is taken that money, which is for national programming, and sat on it so they can pay their bills. I want to flag for you that if the foundation doesn't get paid up with FSRN by the end of this fiscal year, it's in breach of its grant agreement, and CPB can ask for that money back.
I totally agree.
And not just the money for FSRN, the entire grant, which is like $1.5 million for the foundation. Started years ago, and then the payback window got worse and worse and worse until it ran and got in jeopardy of running over the fiscal year. So I'm glad.
Any other questions on PNB matters? Sasha.
I just want to make a really quick comment on the election packet. I guess I'll direct it towards you since you did vote right. and you're my representative, don't forget. I really think that has to be phased in. And one of the thoughts that occurred to me was, and Brian, I'd love your feedback on this. It occurs to me that when we're doing our fund drives, that might be a good time to also say, here's another way that you can help us out financially and have it available at any time, the next 2 years. Go online right now, and as a member, select the next election, you're going green. Along with sending us a donation, save us some money by helping us cut down on these costs. Let's go green. And that could be done throughout the year. I mean, I did it, and, you know, that travels with my membership from now on. And it doesn't need to be done before an election. It could be done at any time. And make that as an availability for people when they're, you know, when they're pledging to go green. Because I think the transition is going to have to be gradual, because you know how everybody is. You know, there are going to be a bunch of people who scream like crazy because things have changed and they don't like it and they carry on. So, I mean, I don't think we can abruptly, really realistically go from one way of voting to another, boom, without having, you know, a fair share of problems. But I do think we need to cut down as much as we can, and we need to get started on that, like, now.
I mean, this is a great plan. I think the problem was it was presented to the board very late in the game. It was in June or early July.
And do you think that would fly when you're asking for donating a fund drive, or even anytime you say you become a member and go green?
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, I'll say two things about that. One is it would be a mouthful during fundraising to ask people to do a second thing other than give. The other thing is it would be quite a bit of work to get all the staff at KPFA on the same message and make sure they're explaining that correctly, right? Because you have about 200 people pitching at some point or other during a fund drive. My concern would be what you're describing is an opt-out system. Now, if you consider the fact that in our elections, only about 10% of the people who can vote, as much as 13, actually vote, you certainly wouldn't expect more than that to proactively opt out of getting a print ballot. Just because it's work.
But we're doing it network-wide, so...
Oh, I agree. I just think it's not going to trim your costs much.
Across the entire network. You know what I mean?
Well, I guess what I'm saying is I would argue for an opt-in framework.
Opt-in to getting it by mail.
Exactly. You know, and with people's gift, with people's gift acknowledgement forms, and they get that, they get a tax statement at the end of the year, always have a reply device they can check that says, check this if you would like to get a printed ballot for the next election, otherwise you'll be voting online. That would be my suggestion.
Okay, Chandra, then Dan.
I think it would be really helpful if we would put local election supervisor report as an PNB agenda item, because that way all this stuff could be addressed while she's in the room and she doesn't have to be part of public comment so that you can't ask her questions. And we're discussing this in her absence, and I think this is important information that she should have. So that's my first comment. And my second comment is a question to our PNB reps that are here. Do you know what's happening in the other stations? Have nominations finally closed at WPFW? Do they have enough candidates? What's the timeline? Has the timeline changed at PFW? And are there any, you know, basically is everything going forward in terms of the elections at all five stations?
Yeah, nominations have closed at PFW. They don't have an armada of candidates, but they got over the threshold. I think they've got 11 or 12 candidates for the 9 seats, and they've got 4 or 5 staff candidates. So they will be proceeding with an election. In terms of everything being on schedule, it was for August 16th, but now that the PNB passed a resolution requesting that things be done differently than they had been planned, then it will be a question of whether that resolution is disregarded, in which case things would go out more or less on schedule, or if the things need to be changed, then there would be a delay, because obviously all these books would have to be printed, and the letter that was going out with the ballots explaining where to get your booklet would need to be changed, and stuff would have to be reprinted, and it would have to be restuffed. So you would probably be looking at about a 2-week delay to get all that work done. At this point, it's not clear if that's going to happen or not. It will be a decision of the NES and the ED about how to deal with the PNB resolution. But the effect of the resolution will be spending some more money and the ballots going out later.
When was that resolution
voted through? Friday night, yesterday.
Are the ballots going out first or third class?
They're going out bulk mail. Pacifica does not have the money to send them out first class.
And one of the reasons we changed the timeline was so there would be enough. When we voted for a change in the elections timeline 3 years ago, it was so that there would be enough time for third class ballots to get out, reach their destination, and get back.
Yeah, I said that at some point or another.
Back in your
office. Can't. Yeah, I can't help you.
Okay, Dan?
You know, again, I'm glad of the PNB action. I'm sorry the PNB was alerted to this so late, because this issue was discussed and killed in the election committee in January. I don't know if anybody reported that to you, but, you know, we had a conversation about it, and the majority of people thought it should be delayed to the next election. You know, we're going to have to think through the implementation. I mean, it seems to me that, you know, the opt-in.